yourself a joyful person. Let me see your hands. A joyful person or a sad person. Anyone? A sad person. And think about that just for a couple of seconds. What makes you joyful? What makes you joyful here this morning? You know? Good, good. Gee, what? And what makes you sad? Probably your timing is wrong on that one. As I continue my studies and journey into knowing Holy Spirit, this question has come up. Okay, through the Scripture, through the Spirit, this question has come up, and I've been wrestling with this question. Can you and I make the Holy Spirit joyful or sad? Can you or I make the Holy Spirit joyful or sad? And the answer is, of course, we certainly can. And I believe there have been times that I have made the Holy Spirit very joyful. I think when I'm in worship, I make the Holy Spirit joyful. As long as I'm giving my worship to an audience of one, and it's not just because I like to dance around, right? But I know that there's been times when I've also made the Holy Spirit very sad. Can anyone relate? Very sad. And He speaks for the Father and for the Son. And I ask, so often I ask, how I know this. How do I know this? Well, it's because I know Him. Holy Spirit is a person with emotions. You remember we've been talking about that. Holy Spirit is a person with emotions. Holy Spirit is our helper sent by Jesus to be the Spirit of truth in our lives. He is our teacher. He speaks for the Father and He speaks for the Son. And each of you has a soul this morning, and so does Holy Spirit, meaning like you, Holy Spirit has emotions. Amen? Emotions. Just look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit. These attributes arise in each of you from time to time because it's Holy Spirit who's expressing Himself through your life. So it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what is the opposite of joy? Grief. Grief. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, we read this warning. And I said to you this morning it would be an encouraging message, but it's also, it's real, okay? So get real. Like, get your walks real with God. Okay? Like, there's, like, honestly, you can't hide from Holy Spirit anyways. So you may as well just totally submit and be all in, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30, we read this warning, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for on the day of redemption." Would you agree? When you have an intimate friend, right? It's natural to want to know what makes that friend happy or sad, joyful or sad. Would you agree? Would you agree? It gives me great joy. As one of your pastors, when I know that you are joyful, it makes me so happy when I know that you are joyful in your walk with God, you're joyful in many, many things. It makes me so happy. And you know what? It also deeply, deeply concerns me when I know that you are sad. And it really pains me when I know some of the things that why you are sad, the reasons why you are sad. It rips my heart out. I become a pastor who used to pray to become a pastor who intercedes. I feel it. I sense it. He gives me great joy when you are joyful, and it gives me great concern when you are not. So is it possible to make the Holy Spirit sad? Can we upset Holy Spirit and cause Holy Spirit grief or pain? Especially if we continue to discover the person of the Holy Spirit, recognizing him as a person who possesses a mind, a will, and emotions. As we go down this journey and we discover this. So I am praying. I am praying for you folks. Every day I'm praying for you folks. I'm praying that you are maturing in your faith enough that you are actually interested in knowing what upsets our friend, the Holy Spirit, and what brings joy to him. I'm praying that your spirits will come alive so that you know that if you're grieving Holy Spirit, or you know that you're grieving Holy Spirit, that your spirit will come alive and that you will get right with the Lord. I am praying for that. It's intense. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit has emotion. Holy Spirit is the one that we tucks your heart to raise your hands to worship God. It's not because our worship team is so awesome and they came around with our favorite song. We're doing it to an audience of one. Amen. I pray that each of you is growing and maturing in your journey so that you can say that you love him. And that you hate the thought of creating a distance between you and him. Oh my goodness. Knowing the Lord all of these years, and when I sense that there is a distance between me and God, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm a million miles away. I just want to cry out, and then there's that temptation of whatever is gripping me that holds me back, and then I just want to run into the Lord's arms again and again, and that's how I pray for you as well. I believe most of us this morning here have experienced grief, would you say? Have you experienced grief in this section over here? Have you experienced grief? You experience grief? I think we've all experienced grief. Amen? So what is grief anyways? Well, Pastor Robert Morris, who is a big pastor in Dallas, Texas, he's awesome. If you read his books, you'll like it. Carrie Job's one of his worship leaders, so I like him even more now because I love Carrie Job. You know? How many of you know Carrie Job? She's awesome. Okay? And so he writes, he says it this way. He says, simply put, grief is sadness you feel at the loss of intimacy with someone. And I think that's why we grieve so much when someone dies, because we lose that intimacy with that person. Amen? Amen? So we must ask ourselves the question, what grieves Holy Spirit? We find some of the answers in the verses that are going to be put up on the wall here in a second. So let's look at this around the context around Ephesians 4 and 30. So is it up there, James? Okay, so let's read it together. Would you, Nikki, start that, please? Let's read that together, starting at verse 25. Do you see the behaviors in these verses that caused the spirit to grieve? Did you notice that all the behaviors relate to how we treat others? Have you seen that? And so because Holy Spirit lives in every believer, mistreating any of them involves mistreating the Holy Spirit in them. Okay? And that grieves Holy Spirit. That grieves Holy Spirit. So if you mistreat me, you are grieving Holy Spirit and vice versa. And so, you know, so that's amazing, don't you think? It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Once again, I'm going to go to Pastor Robert Morris. I read this, and it's gripped me, and I'm going to tell you a story. Again, quoting him. Sin doesn't grieve Holy Spirit just because he's a prude and doesn't want us to have fun. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit because sin hurts people and the Holy Spirit loves people. Further, when a believer walks in rebellion and willful sin, the Holy Spirit experiences grief because of the rebellion that causes a loss of intimacy with each of us. So we all carry baggage. Amen? We all carry baggage, and we all carried baggage into our new lives when we became born again, didn't we? And you probably have noticed that all of your junk habits, unclean habits, didn't fall away the moment you asked Jesus into your life. Would you say amen? Amen. Okay, I wish it had, but it didn't. And the Christian life is a journey, amen? And the Bible says that the moment we are born again in His eyes, we are righteous in God's eyes, correct? So how many of you have heard the word sanctification? How many of you have heard the word sanctification? Can I see your hands? Have you heard the word sanctification? Sanctification is something is to be set apart for special use. To sanctify a person is to make the person holy. And so the Holy Spirit wants to be our partner so that He can be part of that process in each of your lives. Okay? So that's very good. So the Holy Spirit wants to be a partner. And that's why we grieve the Spirit when we allow a stronghold of iniquity or of sin to remain once He has brought us when He has brought it to our attention. Amen? So listen to this story entitled My Beautiful Birthday Gift. You ready? Are you ready? Pastor Robert Morris speaks from personal experience when he comes to the deep roots of iniquity that grieve the Spirit. In this story, he makes himself very transparent. I don't know how many people are in the church, 40, 50,000 people. He just recently wrote this article, and so I don't know if everyone knew his testimony, but here it goes. In this story, he makes himself very transparent. He says that before he accepted Christ, he was a tremendously immoral person. And as a young man, he participated in many behaviors that were unclean. Then at the age of 19, he married Debbie, a wonderful, pure Christian girl. And not long after that, he was saved. He fell in love with God, and he began to serve in ministry. And he says, and I quote him, "Still, I had areas of bondage in my life. Even though God blessed me personally and used me to bless others, I still struggled with moral purity." On the one-year anniversary of his new birth in Christ, Debbie, his wife, said, "Happy birthday. What do you want for your birthday?" And he says in the story, he says, "I don't know how I responded to her." But in his quiet time, the next morning, he was surprised when he heard Holy Spirit ask him the same question. What do you want from me on your birthday? And after thinking about it, he responded and he said to Holy Spirit, I want to hear from God. He asked for something in his spiritual life that he was trying to achieve. Amen. He goes on to say that his spiritual and natural birthdays, each time they kind of came up, the Holy Spirit encouraged him to ask something, and he did. And he always asked for something spiritual in nature. And as his 30th birthday neared, he sensed he was approaching a milestone in his life. And the week before his birthday, the Holy Spirit posed the question again, Robert, what do you want from me on your birthday? And he remembers that the cry of his heart was to hear the voice of God more clearly. He wanted to know when God was speaking so that he could help other people. Amen? Isn't this good? His birthday fell on a Monday that year, and on the preceding three evenings, he was scheduled to minister at a prophetic meeting in a church in a different city. And on the first night, the Friday night before his birthday, he was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit so clearly that he thought to himself, you know, wow, this is good. He was receiving supernaturally detailed encouragement for others so that the Spirit could touch people, showed them in the Holy Spirit showed him inner areas of hurt and pain that Holy Spirit wanted to heal. And he was there and he was speaking into their life, and it was incredible and it was powerful. And he remembers thinking, wow, I'm getting my birthday present early. And I'm hearing God so clearly. I'm helping people. Isn't this a wonderful story, folks? This is a wonderful story. And he remembers thinking this. But the story changes right now. And I hope you're prepared. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your areas of sin and iniquity as well. Amen. This morning. It takes a brave preacher to preach a message like this, you know. You know that, eh? Preach it. Because I have three fingers pointing back. Patow, 1, 2, 3. So the story changes. He went back to his hotel room that night, and he was so revved up that he couldn't even sleep. I know that feeling. Come home after church. Boom, 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 upload the web page, da, da, da. So happy, the worship was amazing. I finally calmed down by 11 o'clock at night. Then I wake up at 12 and I'm ready to go again. I'm high energy, what can I tell you? So he goes back and he couldn't sleep, and he turned on the television, and he began to flip through the channels. And unfortunately, he came across a channel airing a movie that no Christian has any business watching. And at that moment, he knew he needed to turn off the television, and the reasons that he should turn it off even flooded through his mind. He even heard himself saying, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and whatever I give my eyes to, the Holy Spirit sees. And the Holy Spirit is grieved by my sin and my iniquity. But he didn't. He watched the show. He watched the defiling program. And he remembers feeling so unclean afterwards. And in his quiet time the next morning, he went to God. He says, Lord, I confess to you. I ask you to forgive me. I don't know why I continue to go to this part of my life time and time and time again. But the truth is that he did know why. It was an unbroken stronghold in his life that carried over from the days before he was saved. So here you have Mr. Prophetic Man reading people's mail and giving words of encouragement. And here you have a broken man before God saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me. So Saturday night came. He arrived at the church and he was expected to minister prophetically again. And there was just one problem. He couldn't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Just silence. And he was dreading the Sunday morning service. But when he arrived at the church on the Sunday morning, the senior member of the prophetic team gathered and said, "I have a word from the Lord burning in my heart, so I don't think we're supposed to minister prophetically this morning. I think I'm supposed to preach." And he thought, that's good. It was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I can do. So when the time came, the man got up and he said, "The Lord wants me to teach on the subject of iniquity. I want to show you some things in the Word of God regarding bondages and strongholds that many of us have, including many mature believers, that hold us back from our effectiveness in God's kingdom." You've never heard me preach this kind of message, have you? You like it? It's real. It's the Word of God. And he sat in the front row, and Pastor Morris thought, "I get it, Lord. This is for me. It's for me." Then the preacher really brought the point home. He said, "If you've been doing that, you've grieved the Holy Spirit." You know what, folks? It doesn't have to be pornography, if that's what you're thinking he was doing. It's many things besides that. But that's a biggie. Amen. And as God had instructed him, the preacher said, "If you will humble yourself and come to this altar, he will set you free." Amen. He will set you free. And he remembered thinking, "That's me. That's me. And the whole message was meant for me. And I desperately wanted to be free. I'm going," he said. Yet immediately, he had another thought. "I'm one of the ministers here. I can't go down front and respond to this altar call. I'm not going. I'm glued to my chair." Then a third thought occurred to him. "People won't assume that I have some gross sin in my life because I'm the preacher. They'll assume that I haven't been praying or reading my Bible enough." So he thought, "I'm going forward." And then the preacher said, "I'm talking about having a dirty, defiling, sinful, shameful sin in your life that has become a stronghold." And then the Holy Spirit gently said to Pastor Robert Morris, "Are you still going, Robert? Do you want to be set free?" And he answered, "Yes, I'm going. I'm going to be the first one down there because I'm tired of living this way." So he walked forward and he fell to his knees at the altar. And in that moment, the Lord did a work of surgery in his heart. But here's the rest of the story. Monday morning, as soon as his eyes opened, he heard a clear, sweet voice of the Holy Spirit say two words to him: "Happy birthday." Stand up, please. Melissa, would you come? Anyone else? Anyone like to spend a few minutes in prayer at this altar? Come right now.